Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Today, I'm going to break out of my mold. For the first time ever, A Fine Time for Healing will feature an expert guest who's going to bring to light a widespread form of child abuse that for many years has been swept under the proverbial rug. This abuse is called parental alienation. My guest, Sarah Hassman, contacted me about doing this show, and as soon as I heard that it had to do with child abuse, I was on board, because this is the one thing that I think affects everything. Our childhoods, if they're not healthy, we're not healthy adults. Children are innocent. They learn from what they're taught, and they learn from what they see. The most influential people in a child's life are his or her parents. The marks they leave upon their children are indelible. Parents are entrusted with an entirely dependent, highly susceptible individual to guide him or her into becoming an emotionally healthy adult. There is no I in the word parent. A successful parent is a selfless parent. Unfortunately, there are many parents who place more importance on their personal agendas than they do on their children's. Children suffer when this happens. That is not how it's supposed to be, but that is always the case in parental alienation. Our special guest, Sarah Hassman, will be sharing her expertise on that very topic today. Sarah is a diligent, caring professional with a passion for children's rights. The organization she founded, Parental Alienation Solutions, focuses on bringing awareness to a specific form of child abuse, the emotional abuse of children of divorce who have been taught to hate or fear their other loving parent. Sarah Hassman devotes all her time to increasing awareness of this worldwide issue. She has published many articles in respected publications and has been the guest on a number of TV and radio shows. She recently appeared on The Dr. Phil Show, an episode that will air sometime during his new 2013 season. Sarah is the founder of the organization Parental Alienation Solutions. Welcome, Sarah. It's so wonderful to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you, Randy, and I'm so honored to be your guest, especially your first guest. I feel, and so many people are tuning in to hear this, and I'm so thrilled.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Well, that's great. I mean, this is a really important topic. And like I said, it's child abuse. It's a form of child abuse, and we need to stop it now. So I guess the best way to start is for you to explain to our listeners what parental alienation is and what children who are victims of it suffer through.
Okay, well, what it is when a parent, and it usually happens at the time of divorce, psychologically and emotionally manipulates a child, a teenager, even a young adult by trying to destroy the sacred bond between a loving parent and their child. And what they do is they use planned strategies, and they badmouth the parents, and they encourage the children to badmouth the parent, and they have set up strategies to teach the children to hate or fear their loving parents based on lies. And it is horrible. So what happens is these children who do hate and fear this loving parent develop what's called parental alienation syndrome. And it is horrible. And what happens is the parent who is doing this says, well, I'm getting divorced, and the children need to get divorced with me, and I need my followers, and I need control. These people basically, and I know, Randy, you've done a lot of work on narcissists, and these experts, medical experts, psychological experts, have found that this is done by narcissists. They have control issues. They can no longer control their spouse, so they want to control the children, and they do it for, like you said, many selfish reasons. They don't want to pay child support. They also want to use the children as pawns, because these people are, they're not bad people. They're very sick people, and they refuse to get help. You know, they refuse to get help, and they need to control. So
now,
they play games of control.
So why don't you tell us like a typical situation so that our listeners can further understand, like, you know, how would all this come about?
Okay, what will happen is a parent will decide to get divorced, and then he'll say or she'll say, make up lies about the parent to get the children to hate them, and they do. So then when the divorce suit comes in court, and it's time for the judge to determine custody, which is a problem in the court system, which so many people are trying to get changed in organizations, the children are allowed to choose what parent they want to have custody. So they choose, obviously, the one who's been brainwashing them, and then that parent doesn't have to pay child support, and gets a lot of other financial advantages and also other advantages, because what has been found is a lot of these children, you know, abusers abuse. So they brainwash the mind and then they use them for other things. And it is so horrible because, you know, they don't care and they don't love. And these children are being destroyed and our society is being destroyed. And it's costing us so much money, society, because these children get sick more. They, like you were saying, they're taught. The worst problem is they grow up and they repeat this because this is what they know. So we're having millions. This is affecting millions and millions of children across all economic, social, racial lines. There's no boundaries, and they're growing up learning to repeat this behavior.
And you speak from firsthand knowledge, Sarah, right?
I do, but I also receive so much email from, we all have the same story, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
These abusers, they don't love, they use, they want to use the children. And also, and you know, Randy, from your narcissist programs, if a narcissist can't control, they want to destroy.
Absolutely.
Because that helps them That helps them maintain the control. It's like, well, if you don't listen to me like your mother or father did, I'm going to destroy you too. So these children, which is understandable, fear their parent, now they need him or her for financial, for emotional, and they're trapped. They're trapped. They have so many psychological problems, so many of these children. Why do you think so many of these children are acting out? You know, we have all these shootings and killings. And I mean, there isn't a day we turn on the news or read. We don't read something about a child doing something terrible, killing a grandparent, or, you know, right. I mean, it's just horrible. They're bad now. They can't hold jobs. They don't do well in school, many of them. Some of them will focus on school, and that's all they do. They gain weight, some of them. Some of them lose weight. Some of them, they just are very emotionally disturbed children, understandably. And the loving parent has trouble often to do anything because liars and cheaters, which is what these alienators are, these abusers, are. So many of them have financially planned for the divorce and moved the marital or community assets. And so when in the divorce court, they don't get very much because it's all been hidden and there's no money. I mean, it's never ending. And then there's also laws where the states, it's called the Child Support Enforcement Program, and judges are not, a state can get penalized if child support isn't collected.
So often
it's believed that the judges really aren't responsibly and effectively looking into why these parents say they all of a sudden hate their loving parent that they used to get along with for so long up until the time, you know, close to the divorce when these strategies started, because they have an incentive. They don't want to be fined and have the state fined for not being able to collect child support. And the
right.
program is rigorous. So they figure, the kids don't want to live with that parent, and they want the other one to have custody, and that's it, and I'll just do it that way. And then I know of a particular situation where, and a lot of people have had court-ordered therapy that doesn't work because the judges all employ or appoint a therapist they know who is not going to effectively look into this abuse.
Right.
And
I mean, we know the court system isn't always for the for the victim.
But worse, Randy, what it's doing is it's making this loving parent look terrible because
right.
they figure, they lost custody, the therapy didn't work, the bad mouthing. And it's endless. And then what else they do is a lot of these abusers will request a restraining order. And so it's a matter of course of business. The judges will give it out even if there's no rational basis. There's no reason for it. They don't have a criminal record. They have no background. The judges will do that. So then it even scares the children more. Oh, my God, my other parent has a restraining order and can't come near us and can't do this.
Right,
it's
scary.
Lies.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I'm just saying it's lies and schemes.
Right. Exactly. You know, I know that what happens to a child when they're young will impact their life when they're older. I know because I was emotionally abused as a child, and I know how many years it took me to undo the damage. So. How can this impact a child's life when they're older, and what kind of other abuses will it lead to?
Okay, well, it can impact a child when they're older because they're going to repeat it. Just like you said earlier, this is the behavior that they're taught. So if they're not, this is what they think goes on and what happens. So they're going to grow up and repeat it, which is horrible. But what we can do is bring awareness to this, and this is what my organization is trying to do, you're trying to do, so many of us are trying to do, is to bring awareness because we can't change it unless we start talking about it. But most people, you start talking about child abuse, they're going to walk away or they're going to say, oh, that's really a shame. And
mm-hmm.
we've got to get people to be accountable. And it's
right.
so hard. Well,
you know, yeah, I mean, what kind of, how are these children going to act out when they're older? I mean, what are some of the implications of this? You know, like you said, you know, they have trouble in school and all different kinds of things. And we hear in society that these kids all of a sudden go wacky and start killing people. But, you know, what other things happen to these kids? I mean, is it drug abuse?
They get into many of them get into drugs and other abuses. Some of them, I hate to tell you, commit suicide because to escape from the pain, and they can't function properly. They're like you said, you know what you said. You went through a lot of psychological problems in dealing with this. They're going to have the same ones, and they're going to have trouble in relationships, and we are becoming a society of bullying. You know, if they don't get their way, they're just going to, you know, bully. There's no respect. There's no, let's collaborate. Like, my thing is, you know, I'm open to any conversation with anybody, but they want to be respectful and collaborative. But if you're going to shout accusations and do terrible things and badmouth and have, I don't know if you noticed a lot, I and many others have found a lot of this younger generation, they have a sense of entitlement. They have this attitude, like they deserve, you know, they don't need to be respectful, they don't need to be kind. And I was on another talk show, Bill Murray's Stop Child Abuse Now, and he was saying how they used to teach civics in school, and they don't teach civics or any ethic classes.
Right.
And that's what we've got to get back to teach children. This is not the way to behave. But then again, when you have these leaders, and I'll tell many Jewish rabbis, including Rabbi David Wolpe, gets up there and has these videos that say, we have to repent and help others and do good things and all that. But he, and I've asked him personally, and so many others have asked him, But I've asked him, and I guess other Jewish organizations, to just talk about parental alienation. And I've asked other clergy, get up when you talk about it in your sermons. When you write, Rabbi David Wolpe goes on television. He refuses to write about it because what's believed is, and it showed up in there was a book written about his father by a very famous author, Stephen Free, called The New Rabbi, and in chapter 2, and this is about what's going on in the 70s, that it plays out a parental alienation situation, and what happened was his father, Gerald Wolpe, turned his head and watched the abuse going on at a bat mitzvah right on in the synagogue. His father was powerful, had a lot of money, and had given money to build the library, I think it was, in the synagoge. So we turned his head. Talking to the, you know, having programs in the school and pulling these parents up and saying, I'm not going to allow this, but getting to the root of the problem to say, why, child, do you feel this way? Because what these children feel, they have no rational basis. And also, Randy, what they complain about is everything's wrong with their parents. It's not like, let's sit down and, you know, let's discuss what particular incidents or behaviors bother you, because then we can change it and we can discuss. And this is how people grow. But they don't do that. They're like, oh, everything's wrong. They're horrible, awful, this, that. And they also, another problem, Randy, is that these children, their memories are distorted. So they, these memories, they think they remember things properly, but they don't, and they're fed a lot of lies.
They don't remember all the happy times that happened because they've been brainwashed.
That's right, and they focus on, you know, I'm not saying all parents are perfect. We're not perfect, but we have good intentions, most of us. And
we're supposed to, yes.
Yeah, I'd like to believe that. if we do something wrong one time, okay, fine, but we learn. And you focus on the good times and look at the photographs. That's one thing I talk about, which is demonstrative evidence. Look at when a child says, oh, I'm so miserable, da, 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 and I've always been this way. Show them, if you're an alienating parent, photographs. you know, school projects, wonderful birthday cards they sent you, and you say, see, you weren't always like that, and start to bring back their memory. This is what they think they are. They think they've been abused, and they have been,
right.
But they forget the good time.
Exactly. Yeah, and so, you know, I'm sure that there are parents out there that have had this happen to them and are listening, and they feel like they're pulled into the court system and they're spending all this money and they can't win, they're winning a losing battle. So for the parents out there that are alienated from their children, what advice can you give them?
Okay, my first thing is get out of the court system. You're not going to win. You're going to waste your money, and they're going to first of all, it takes a lot of time and energy, and the courts, by so many, have found not to be fair. So what you need to do, this is what it's been recommended professionally by many professionals, including, you know, me, many experts. Step back. Give your children time to see the truth. Don't fight if you don't have the custodians, but send them every week or every whatever you feel comfortable with, a wonderful email that just says, hi, I love you, hope you're doing great, something really positive. Or call them. And even if they don't pick up, you know, if you're dealing with young adults and teenagers, leave a voicemail and say, just thinking about you. And also tell them good things you're doing, because that disables the abuser, because the abuser likes to tell them, it's like a cult, if you don't listen to me, bad things are going to happen to you, just like your mother or father. But if bad things aren't happening to you, that weakens that abuser.
Okay.
And that makes, you know, so that's a good thing to do. Feel free to email me. My website is www.p for parental alienation, alienation.org. And email me. And you can, my email's on there, and Facebook's on there, and Twitter, everything. And you can contact me. What my organization is trying to do is we're trying to collect money, because I'm an attorney, and I eventually want to get a lobbyist to change some of these laws, in particular, that when because the main motivation of these abusers is to not have to pay child support. So if we can say, well, whether they have custody or not, they're going to pay child support. That would discourage them. You know, something like that. Also, a lot of alienating parents don't, you want more advice, Randy, you had said, don't necessarily send gifts. I mean, do it once and see what happens. Because what many find is, like I know in particular, a parent bought their child a new computer because he was working on a little notebook and needed a, you know, a new one with a printer, and the parent wouldn't accept it. And so this is why they don't love the child. They don't care about the child. You know why he wouldn't accept it? Because if he accepted it, he had to declare it his income and pay taxes on it. You know, and I mean, it's horrible. So stuff like, you know, laws like this have to be changed. And then they get the schools involved. They get the, like I was telling you about the clergy, you know, with Rabbi David Wolpe and his father. And then I can tell you about schools, where this private schools and even other schools. And you know, with coaches, with Jerry Sandusky, what he did. You know, but a lot of these kids, they, you know, people they think they can trust, they can. And the abuser says, look, you know, I'm a powerful businessman. Now, this is not all of them. This is just one composite, but many of them. I'm a powerful businessman or businesswoman, or I have some money. Even if they're not so powerful, you know, for some money or for some kind of benefit, you know, how about if you make my ex-spouse look bad and terrible and continue with the lie? You know, let me do it. You know, this is horrible.
Right.
You know,
I don't want to run out of time. You know, we have such a limited amount of time, but I wanted to ask you, for my listeners, can you tell them what they can do to help stop this horrid child abuse? And, you know, and I mean, you gave them the information on how to get in touch with you. We'll talk about that at the very end. But what can people do to support you?
what people can do to support me is to send me emails about your support, and I will take this, that we're against this, we want to change the laws. Email me, and I will have a whole file of everybody in their emails, and I'm going to take this to people on Capitol Hill, representatives, because what we need to do, in order to really make a change, we have to get to the constituents. And if I can show them, hey, your constituents are all really upset about this. Look at all these people that have said they're having trouble, we're upset, we want to make a change, we need you to do something. So that's what I would recommend. You know, instead of everybody doing it one-on-one, I can do it for everybody. And I can, does that make sense to you? Because if we don't get
definitely. I mean, a lot of people complain about things, but you're actually doing something. And so people can just, you know, they can just rely on you. I mean, that's it's a big big load you're carrying, but thank you for doing that, you know, for all these children and all these parents. We are almost out of time, but I want to thank you so much, Sarah, for being such a wonderful guest today, actually our very first guest on A Fine Time for Healing. And for those who are listening, to learn more about Parental Alienation Solutions, please visit www.palienation.org. That is P and the word alienation, alienation.org. And also visit their Facebook page, which is also Parental Alienation Solutions. And on there, Sarah's constantly putting updates. So it's real easy when you're on your Facebook page to go on and check. You can like the page and just keep following what she's doing. If you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, feel free to email me at afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com. Randy is always spelled R-A-N-D-I. Stop by my website, randygfine.com, and sign the guest book. I welcome feedback about my shows, so you can leave comments for me there as well. And please stop by to visit me on my Facebook page, Randy G. Fine, and like me. My page is filled with inspirational picture quotes that you can enjoy and share. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. More followers will get this show the recognition that it deserves. And visit my blog at randygfine.com for even more inspiration, and join the list of devoted followers there. I get new followers every day, so I'd love to have you join the list. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again, Sarah, and thanks to my listeners for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Thanks, Sarah.
Oh, thank you, Randy. And just remember, this is a form of child abuse.
Yes, I know. That's what we have to take away from this. Okay, it's been great talking to you. Maybe we'll have you back. And you'll keep us abreast on the progress.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Bye. You too. Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine. RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. There's a better way.